I'll start with, well, I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Korea. My parents and I immigrated when I was 3 years old in 1973, and we began, I guess, our American experience at Skyline Towers, which is the tall building apartment complex next to the Supertarget on I-94 and Hamlin Avenue. So grew up here mostly in here in the Twin Cities area. I went to college at Marquette in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I know that at that time I had no thoughts of being in the current role that I am in. In fact, I probably couldn't even have imagined being in this role, even probably, you know, until the mayor called me out of the blue and after the election in November of 2005 and asked me to be the St. Paul City Attorney, right? Before that, I really never had this type of job or role in my, you know, my thinking of what was possible or what was something that I even wanted to do. In fact, I remember in law school, I avoided criminal law classes because I didn't view them to be very exciting, right? And things like that. So so I got into this work. I think, you know, I was a partner in a downtown Minneapolis law firm, and I had a lot of experience doing private practice representing cities in municipal law and also helping them up at the state capitol, right? Working on tax legislation, things like that. So I had the background to be the city attorney in the context of maybe the civil work. But the criminal justice part of it was very new to me, right? And so that was one of my hesitations about whether I should take that job. But at the end of the day, I ended up taking it. And what I ended up doing, I think, is I started spending more time in the criminal justice prosecution area because I felt like since I didn't know very much about it, I needed to learn about it. But I think it was a real blessing in disguise for me not to have that particular background, because I wasn't raised, so to speak, as a prosecutor, right? So I didn't have like that influence of, well, this is how I've done my job from the very beginning, right? I came in and I remember asking just lots of questions about why we would do this. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem like we're really achieving anything that's important, right? So, you know, one particular thing that I remember is, you know, we have a lot of people in our community today who drive without a valid license. And that was like about a third of our caseload, literally a third, right? And I asked, I said, well, it's such a large segment of what we are supposed to be doing, or at least, you know, things that come to our office, and like, what do we do in these cases? And the response that I got was that like, well, we don't really do very much. You know, we don't really view this to be a high priority. And so like, if somebody has lots of driving with a canceled or suspended license that get caught a lot, then we say to ourselves, oh my God, we probably should do something, and then we might prosecute them. But otherwise, for everybody else, what the office was doing is that we would just refer the case back to the Department of Public Safety and indicate that, you know, we got this case and we're referring it back to you. But by doing that, what would happen is then they would be suspended again, and then they would have to have another fine, and then the individuals would go deeper into debt, right? So then I started asking some questions like, you know, what? Well, so how much do people owe in the system, right? And as it turned out, you know, by doing some analysis, we found that the average amount that people owed is $1,500, right? So a lot of people just don't have that kind of money, because the way that the government would deal with people in this situation would be like, if somebody did get a job and they said, hey, I wanted to get my license back, how do I do that? Well, the person at the state would say, well, you've got all of these outstanding fines and you got to pay these fines and you've got penalties, and you can't just pay me. You got to go to Hennepin County because you owe them $800, and then you owe Ramsey County $400, and then some of the stuff went to collections, so you got to deal with the collections people through the Department of Revenue. And then if you can figure all that out, come back to me and show me that you've done that. And then you have to pay the state for a reinstatement fee. And of course, people are going to walk away and say, screw it, I don't have the time or the money, and this is just way too complicated, right? And so the cycle would continue, and then maybe someone would go to Hennepin County and say, hey, I want to pay off the $800 that I owe. And he'd say, maybe like, can I get on a payment plan? And the court would say, oh, no, we don't do payment plans. We're not set up to do that, right? You just got to figure it out how to just make good on it, right? So obviously, it just, the system was broken because nobody was paying attention to it. And what people were doing was just trying to figure out a way to just get their work done, right? To do something in response and to manage whatever system that they had in place, right? That would oftentimes be designed to benefit the administrative aspect of this giant kind of assembly line, right? Without really regard to understanding the people that came in. So we created a driver diversion program, a pilot program for St. Paul, West St. Paul, South St. Paul, and the city of St. Paul, working with those city attorneys. And we got legislation passed to create a diversion program that would allow for the department to immediately reinstate people if they would agree to go out on payment plan, number one. And number two, go to a class and graduate from that class. And the class was just really about financial literacy, because we felt that that was really what was holding people back, is that they, a lot of people were maybe living upside down. And so when they did get that speeding ticket and that ticket for without a driver's license, they didn't have the money to pay for it because they, you know, they didn't have the resources, right? So we did that. Now it's a statewide program, right? And I've evolved in many ways. Today, I think that we should not even suspend people's licenses. It helps people like me who have, I'm gainfully employed, and if my license got suspended, I'd go immediately down to wherever and I'd fix it, right? Pay off whatever I needed to do, right? But most people, that is not an option. So it doesn't really change behavior. So I'm glad that this legislative session, for the first time on a bipartisan basis, passed a law that eliminates further suspensions of licenses for people, right? So like doing stuff like that, I fell in love with maybe the opportunity to make some changes in the justice system. And so I decided to run for county attorney in 2010. I was elected in January, or took office in January of 2011, and I've been the county attorney since. And I would say that being county attorney is it's an elected position. It's a great honor and privilege. I often still reflect on like how I ended up getting here and why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I know that this is kind of like my vocation, so to speak. Like that's kind of what I'm supposed to be doing. I really believe in my heart deeply that I was supposed to be here during this moment in time. And this office has had a lot of things that we've had to deal with, whether it's responding to police violence and charging Geronimo Yanez with a crime and the death of Philando Castile, or whether it's with responding to the Archdiocese, or all those things, and doing some of the reforms that we are doing now that are really deep level type of reforms, right? That, like, you know, I'm supposed to do this. So it's kind of like my calling. So I feel very privileged to be able to do it. And every day is always a kind of a blessing and always a surprise about what's going to happen. Because a part of my job is about responding to things that happen. And sometimes you're under the microscope, but also too, I have the great opportunity to work in collaboration with other people in the system and community, especially impacted community, and come up with solutions. And that's more of the long-term thing, where things where I get to choose, right? So that's a really fulfilling part of my job. But yeah, you're in the mode of reacting to something that's happening, or you get to choose to how you spend your time. But I've spent a lot of time getting connected to, you know, community and trying to engage the public about the justice system, and it's been great to see that over the course of my time here as county attorney, there's today a greater involvement and engagement of the public about the criminal justice system, and they can see a lot of the things that I have always seen in the justice system, that it needs to change, it needs to improve. And so more things are possible today, right, with the greater interest, and it certainly it comes from a place of social activism, that communities are coming forward with their own stories and their demands and solutions for change of what needs to be better, right? So I think that's like really great. I used to think, like when I started this job, that my big part of my job was to educate the public about what we do. And I think it's still a part of that, but a bigger part of my job is actually to be informed by the community about the things that need to improve or change, right? So I can learn so much more from, I think, community, especially that aspect of our community that has been harmed or negatively impacted by the justice system, because, and then also to develop partnerships, because I do believe that the path forward is not for people like me who are in prosecution to come up with our own ideas, because oftentimes the ideas that we will come up with are the same things that we have always done, right? And so we need to come up with things that are more transformational and radical at times to really enact the type of changes that we need.